Welcome back, everyone, to the Fantasy Crossover Podcast. I am your host, Danny Duarte, joined here by my co-host, Brian Acevedo. And today we have a fun episode here in store. As we know, it's draft season. So what we decided to do was do our tips and tricks for just the fantasy season in general. We're going to kick it off to begin with just a pre-draft strategy or pre-draft process. So everything leading up to draft night. What the research you have to do, just being aware of what type of league you're in and any rules that you may need to be aware of. And then afterwards, we're going to focus on draft night. So essentially everything going on while you're drafting, tips and tricks to be aware of in the middle of it all. And then thirdly, just the ongoing league processes, things to be on top of as the season progresses, as your league progresses, just to make sure, you know, you are putting yourself in the best position to ultimately win your league. So we're going to kick it off with just some pre-draft strategy, some pre-draft tips and tricks. I'll hand it over to Brian and he'll get it started.
Yeah, guys. So when it comes to the pre-draft, there's going to be a fair bit of research that you're going to want to do. First of all, making sure you know and recognize and understand your league settings. There's a ton of different variety when it comes to leagues. There's 12 team, 14 team, 10 team. I've even seen 8 team leagues. There's also the deeper 16 and even 20 team leagues. So that right there off the bat is going to give you a better understanding of, okay, am I going to be drafting really deep and like I really have to understand sleepers, or is it going to be more of a top heavy with an 8 team draft? Then you're going to break it down points leagues versus category leagues. When it comes to that, that's another ball game entirely. With category leagues, obviously, you're looking for the stat stuffers. So those are the things you want to really focus on. That's the type of stuff that you really want to familiarize yourself with before you even get into the draft. Also, just a fair note, if you've made it this far, you want to make sure that you're 100% invested. I've been in a couple of leagues myself. The last thing I want to see is someone who plays 2 weeks and then they just stop following up with their team. It really ruins the experience for everybody. So for the sake of competition, if you commit to a league, I really 100% say that even if you don't enjoy it, if it's your first year or whatever the reason, just make sure you commit all the way through to the best of your ability. Everybody is either invested or has money invested potentially. So you just want to make sure that everyone feels like it's a fair experience. When it comes to that, there's other options that you guys can look at. There's certain leagues that actually enhance the value of three-pointers made. There's leagues that enhance the value of turnovers. There's also leagues that completely discount turnovers or field goal percentage and free throw percentage. So because there's such a variety of different leagues, we really implore you to do your research before your draft to make sure that you are really prepared. And that way you can kind of know, okay, what am I getting myself into? What do you got, Dan, for pre-draft?
Yeah, so you touched on a lot of bases. I think the most important thing is before the draft even happens, just be very aware of all the rules. So to Brian's points, is it a 9 category or is it a points league? Is it a head-to-head league on a weekly basis or is it a roto league? So these are just things that from the beginning you'll be able to tell before the draft even kicks off. Like it'll explicitly, you can find it in like the league settings, depending on the platform, like it'll explicitly state all the rules. And then if it's a category league or if it's a point league, it'll tell you like, what are the point emphasis on? Like how much points do points get you? How much do three-pointers get you? Or, you know, what categories are emphasized? Some category leagues, typically it's 9 category, but some category leagues might do more. They might factor in field goals made instead of just field goal percentage, or they might completely omit turnovers to Brian's point. So again, it's very important to familiarize yourself with your specific league's rules before the draft. And then it's also important to familiarize yourself with just what type of draft is it. There's, for the most part, there's 2 standard drafts. There is the salary cap draft, which is also known as an auction style draft. And there's just a regular snake style draft. These are very different. So depending on what type of draft you have to have a completely different strategy. With the snake style draft, it's very straightforward in the sense of you have, depending on how many slots are in the league, you have players going from 1 to whatever number. And then in that specific order, players just get to pick what player they want to pick. And then it goes, let's say 1 through 10, and then it comes back 10 to 1. And that's a snake style draft. Just the, you know, each round is 1 through 10 or 10 through 1. And then with an auction style draft, it's very different where instead of, you selecting the player that you're going to take at your pick. You in an auction style draft, you nominate the player. So with auction slash salary caps, you have $200 typically. And again, this could vary depending on your league, but it's typically $200. And you have this money to spend for your entire draft.
Oh, sorry. I think I got cut off.
And
go ahead.
It's okay. No, it's all good. So again, you just have this a set amount of money you have to spend, and when it's your turn, you get to nominate a player. But that doesn't necessarily you mean you got him. You have to try to outbid other players for that player. But that also means that, let's say it's someone else's turn and you really want a player, if you outbid them, you could get a player during someone else's team. So again, there's a lot of different strategy aligned depending on the draft style. And typically, at least from my experience, and I think Brian, you can attest to this as well, salary style drafts typically require a lot more strategy, in the sense of it's not dependent on the position you're drafting in, but rather how you fill up your team based on the money you spend per player. So again, it's a lot more, what player did you draft at this point? How much do you value a player at a specific draft spot, or that player in general, and how you want to fill up your team?
Yeah, and that's a great point. That's something to touch on, in the difference between snake and a salary cap slash auction league. Anyone can get Nikola Jokic. Anyone can get LeBron James. It really is up to you on how you want to spend your money, whether or not you choose to spend it wisely or conservatively, aggressively. You really control your strategy, whereas a snake draft, it's really more of a matter of who falls into your lap in that aspect. One thing that I like to do quite a bit before, and I do this both in fantasy football and basketball, or any fantasy league really that you'd like to join, I always recommend doing mock drafts. I think that mock drafts are a great way to kind of show you, okay, this is where other people's perceived value of these players are. And then I think it gives you a better idea of, okay, going into the draft, I can expect this player to fall around this range. Or if you're drafting in salary cap auction, hey, I can expect a player to be going for about this much money. And obviously that gives you a better idea as you do more mock drafts of saying, hey, I think I know I'm going to get a DeJounte Murray in the fifth or sixth round. Or if you're in a salary cap league, you can say, hey, I'm going to get DeJounte Murray and I'm going to spend $20 for him, because in three mock drafts that I've done, that's where I've seen him go. And I'm prepared to spend that amount because I think he's going to add a lot of value to my team in certain categories. So in that aspect, there's obviously a lot of strategy involved. So that's one of the big reasons I actually really like doing these types of drafts, like salary cap auction, just because of how much strategy is involved with it. Other than that, as far as draft night, another thing that you think you really need to keep in mind of, and Yahoo, I think, does a better job at this than ESPN does, just making sure that you keep note of injury designations. You don't want to be that guy that drafts Kawhi Leonard in the fourth round this year. You don't want to be that guy that drafts Jamal Murray and puts $20 in. You just got to have a really good understanding of, hey, when is this guy planning on returning? If he's injured, how serious is that injury? Is this team like a Clippers, for example, a team that might be more known for load management versus a team that's a little bit more aggressive and wants to win right now, and they may rush that player back a little bit? Those are all things that you want to take into consideration. And just by doing that little bit of research, I think it gives you an edge over more casual fans who are, you know, just drafting based off names that they see and guys that they like. Doing that little bit of extra research will, you know, allow you to not have to use up all your IR spots. And there's some leagues where you don't even have those IR spots to place injured players. So that's a big part of the strategy. And the other thing is, when it comes to draft night, you always want to be prepared to pivot. You do have a strategy in mind, but I'll give you an example from Saturday from our draft. I had no intentions of really getting Giannis Antetokounmpo, but at $63 in most of the mock drafts that I've done, he was available for much, much more than that. So I felt that at $63, he was a good value. And even though I had a different strategy going into the draft and it wasn't my plan A to end up with Giannis, because of the value that I got for him, it then changed my strategy for the rest of the draft. So that's just the one thing, is don't feel like you're dead set on, well, I need to get LeBron James, I need to get Damian Lillard. That's not necessarily the best strategy, because if somebody outbids you, it makes you spend more budget than you thought you would have to spend. It makes the rest of your draft basically an uphill battle.
Yeah, and just the last point I want to add on, at least if you're really serious about your league and just you enjoy this type of content, would be try doing mock drafts on different platforms. So something that I learned this go around is the fact that with ESPN and Yahoo rankings, they vary very, they can range quite a bit. So we would see players going in the second round in an ESPN draft or mock draft, whereas, in a Yahoo mock draft, they would be going in the fifth round. So familiarize yourself with the players and where they're ranked, depending on the platform you're using. Because even though it may not seem like a big deal, a lot of perception is around where these rankings that these platforms have players at. So again, if you think, oh, this platform ranks them a little bit too high or a little bit too low, you can take advantage of that and really capitalize for certain players. So that would be my last little nugget is, if you're serious, try across different platforms and see kind of where certain players' perceived values across each platform is. But without further ado, let's get into it next with draft night.
Yeah, so when it comes to draft night, actually, if something that you said there, Dan, actually made me kind of think about it. The other day, a guy like Josh Giddey, who, in most drafts and most platforms, he's not going in the top 100, top 150, but he was still nominated in our draft and he went for $4. And it wasn't like Yahoo valued him. It's not like Yahoo valued him there, but if you have a feeling and you've done your research and you feel like, hey, Josh Giddey is going to improve my team, don't feel afraid or obligated because you don't see him in that upper echelon tier that you can't nominate him, or even in a snake draft that you can't pick him a little bit early. I'm actually a big fan of late round flyers. I think, investing in rookies and younger players that, that are on weaker teams that are going to have a lot of opportunities to play and make an impact. Those are the types of picks that can sometimes win you the league. So when it comes to things like that, don't ever feel like because Yahoo has this guy ranked a certain place or ESPN has this guy ranked a certain place, don't feel like you are chained to having to follow those platforms. If you've done your research and you feel like, hey, I think I'm getting a good value with this guy at this number or at this pick, don't feel afraid to follow through, because at the end of the day, you're the decision maker, you're the head executive of your team, so you have to act accordingly. But as far as draft night goes, for me personally, that's probably my favorite night. Just being able to look at the big board. I know Danny has done something that I've actually started to adopt a little bit myself, using the queue. ESPN and Yahoo both offer it. Just making sure that you have a list of guys that you're saying, hey, this is the next guy that I want. He's the next guy on my list. And then obviously as the draft progresses, you continue to add to that list and just make sure that you have a game plan attached to why you choose that player. So if you have a guy like Ben Simmons, who struggles with threes, maybe if you're going for a more balanced approach, maybe your pick right after Ben Simmons could be a Buddy Hield, a guy that's going to average about 4 threes a game to kind of offset Ben Simmons. And you always want to make sure that you just have that list in a reasonable order and make sure that you kind of follow it. If you want to go the all guns blazing approach and not have a list, you can do that too. That's the beauty of fantasy, is that it really is what you make it. But those are some of the strategies that I've seen implemented.
Yeah. And another thing to note, so, we're in draft night, right? You're in the middle of your draft. So an important thing to note is, guys, be aware of the clock. The clock is both your friend and your enemy. So be sure to be monitoring that clock as to how much time is left for either you to make a pick or you to make a nomination. Because again, once it's done, Yahoo or ESPN will automatically just nominate or pick the next best ranked player from that platform's ranking. So it could completely screw up your strategy if you're not aware of the clock and you don't make the pick in time for what you wanted. So again, be aware, keep that in mind, just constantly be looking at it and be aware of how much time is left. That's the first thing I'd say. And then the second thing I'd say is kind of similar to what Brian touched on. The perceived value that these platforms has is specific to those platforms. What matters here is your perceived value, because at the end of the day, it's the strategy of your team. It's how you want to build your team. If, let's say, a guy that's been going kind of in the middle, well, he's been bouncing up and down, but he's kind of like in the seventh round now, I believe, is Isaiah Stewart. Isaiah Stewart's going to get you some blocks. He's going to get you some rebounds, and he's going to get you a pretty solid field goal percentage. If that's something you need and you might need a center, you could easily reach for him in the sixth or maybe in the fifth round if you've already built out a good team around that position and you really need that position. So again, even though Yahoo or ESPN's or whoever's value perception is lower, that doesn't matter. It's about how it builds around your team and what you want slash what you need. So it's your value, your perception. No one else can tell you otherwise, because ultimately your team's going to mesh how you think it's going to mesh the best.
Yeah, and that's a good point. When it comes to that, there's a lot of different things that you can look at. Yahoo and ESPN both allow you to look at they have sort of like projected stats for the season for that player. What I personally like to look at is I like to look at the last year stats. Even though obviously they can project, those projections can be slightly off, I like to look at, okay, raw numbers, what did this player do last year? And then the other thing you need to take into consideration that kind of has to do with that pre-draft research is, did that player change teams? Did that team maybe draft a rookie that's going to impact that player's playing time or their role? For example, a guy like Jared Allen in Cleveland. They obviously, the Cleveland Cavs drafted Evan Mobley with a top three pick, which shows that they're pretty invested into him. And they gave Lauri Markkanen, another big who plays the same position, a lot of money in the offseason. Those are all things that you need to take into consideration when you're looking at what did Jared Allen do last year versus what can I expect him to do for my team this year. There's countless examples of that you can look at. You can look at a Russell Westbrook with the Lakers. He's another popular, although a little bit polarizing, asset. When it comes to Russell, you know what he's going to bring to the table, but what is that going to look like in LA? And then obviously you have the idea of when teams tend to bring in a bunch of new players simultaneously, there does seem to be a little bit of a learning curve like we've seen with other superstar teams in the past. And you obviously have another example like that in Chicago with the Bulls, with all the guys that they added this offseason. So definitely just being in line with that, in tune with that. I know no one likes to look too much into the preseason, but I actually I like to look at it just to have an idea of like what the rotations might be for a specific team. I think that does play a big factor in how the regular season's rotation at least starts out. That to me is like the most important things to look out for on draft night.
Yeah, and to your point, just beyond, let's say, a rookie, you also have to, if the player switches teams, players that they brought in, how does that impact their value? So a great example I have is Kyle Lowry went to the Miami Heat. How does that impact both Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo's value? You know, these guys were pretty ball dominant. Now they have a ball dominant point guard. Do their assists go down, both of them? Could some of those defensive stats go down? But do their points go up? So you just have to factor in all aspects of the team or any coaching changes. So Rick Carlisle is now in Indianapolis. How does that affect Sabonis' output? How does that affect Miles Turner's output? Like, these are just all various factors that you need to be completely aware of if you're looking at a specific player from a specific team during draft night. Another tip that I like to think about during draft night is just if it's specifically an auction draft, trying to get other people to spend money, trying to get other people to kind of use up their budget so that you can get the player you want, whether it be nominating a controversial player like Ben Simmons or Kyrie Irving late to try to get someone to spend their money, or whether it be nominating a sleeper pick or someone that is kind of in later rounds currently going that everyone knows has a good perceived value that you want to spend more people's money. So a player like Pascal Siakam, who isn't being nominated until much later, but everyone knows he's going to put up great numbers. So again, with auction drafts, a lot of it is just a strategy of not just how are you going to budget your money, how are you going to try to make other people budget their money in the middle of the draft. With snakes, it's just mainly who you want, go pick them. And again, build your team accordingly based off of who you pick.
Yeah, and another quick thing on the auction drafts, we saw the reverse strategy kind of implemented in our draft on Saturday. We saw Kyrie Irving be the first nomination, and it kind of makes players have to decide like, hey, what am I going to be doing? So that's something you need to consider as well.
Yeah, but for the most part, again, in the middle, like during draft night, you know, mid-draft, just have fun with it. The whole point of fantasy is to enjoy it, have fun. There may be some money on the line. There may be some pride, you know, your competitive spirit. But at the end of the day, you're signing up to this because you enjoy it and you want to have a good time. So just keep that top of mind. That's probably the number one most important thing is enjoy what you're doing. So, you know, let's say draft night is now over. You're in the middle of the season. Brian, what are some things that you need to be on the lookout, you know, during season as the season progresses?
So one of the things that I know a lot of people have kind of complained about when it comes to fantasy basketball is the monitoring of your lineup compared to a fantasy football where it's kind of like a you check it on your Thursday, your Sunday, your Monday. Fantasy basketball can really truly be an everyday commitment. You can definitely make it easier for yourself. Yahoo and ESPN kind of allow you to preset your lineups for the week. But then I'd still recommend if you do decide to go that route to save you a little bit more time, to make sure you turn your alerts on and notifications. So that way you're kind of aware right before a game. I know last year, a lot of guys were getting rest designations or, you know, just taking a night off for whatever reason right before the game. And it's usually very random. So you want to know that. And that way, if you have a full lineup, you can sit that guy and maybe replace him with a rotation player that you wouldn't have started otherwise, but you know is going to play and he's going to give you production. Those are just little things that you would want to do. The other thing is if your league has IR spots or injury spots, you want to utilize that. If your guy's ever given the out designation or, you know, they're going to be injured long term, you want to make sure you use that so that way you can supplement your roster by adding somebody off of the waiver wire. Another thing when it comes to the waiver wire, you want to check it daily. I've seen leagues where sometimes close to an all-star type player will get dropped. And, you know, it shocks everybody. It's very surprising. But if you're the first person on it or you just happen to be in a good spot from a waiver wire perspective, you're going to get that guy and it could really immensely help your team. So being active on the waiver wire, constantly managing your lineups and just maybe not daily, but maybe once a week or once a month, just checking your lineup, see your guys, look at their stats for the year. Are they kind of what you thought they would be? Those are the types of things that I would take a look at and just say, hey, like, is Brandon Ingram performing well? Where I picked him to be, where I thought he would be. Those are the types of things. And if not, then you could use that opportunity to maybe trade him and sell low or sell high on him and make your team better.
Something that I forgot about, but you brought up that was a great point with the IR spot is guys know the layout of your team depending on the specific platform you're using and the specific rules of your team. You may have different spots. So for example, typically you see a point guard spot, a shooting guard spot, and then there's just a random guard spot. Some leagues have more than one center position available. You can draft, you know, in your starting lineup, you can have two centers. So be aware of that lineup and how many players can be playing actively per day. And then another thing that we overlooked was just each player's positional ranking or positional status. So some players can only play one position, such as only a point guard or only a center. But there's other players that can play multi positions. They can play point guard, shooting guard, power forward, center. There's even players that can play three, like LeBron, point guard, shooting guard, and small forward. That has value in and of itself because you can play around with your lineup and you can optimize it to the way that you get to play all the players you have playing that day or play the players that you want to play that specific day. So again, these are just things that we forgot to mention but are very important to be aware of. But just to quickly round out, you know, once you're in the middle of the season and things to be aware of, when a player on a waiver wire is available. Sometimes the player is not going to be available for a couple of days. So until then, you can put in a waiver claim and hope that you get them. How do you try to make sure that you do get them? Check the waiver rankings or the priority rankings. Typically, you'll know, are you the first in waiver rankings? Like, would you be the first to get that player if he was available? Or are you dead last and chances are you're probably not going to get him? These are important things to know, and your league will easily show you where you rank on those and just realistically what are your chances and if you have to pivot your strategy to possibly another player to pick up off the waiver wire.
Yeah, great points, Dan. I really have nothing else to add there, man.
All right, guys. Well, that being the case, I just quickly want to say thank you to everyone that has been supporting us, that has been listening to us, that's just, you know, giving us great feedback. We appreciate it. We appreciate the fantasy league that we started. We appreciate the fact that, you know, we have so many followers and just kind of a group. And make sure to like the video on YouTube, subscribe, comment. We like all the interaction. It definitely helps the YouTube algorithm. And with our podcast, just make sure to share it with everyone. you know, hit the follow notification so that you're always alerted when the new episode comes out, and interact with us on Twitter and Instagram. Give us a follow. We're constantly posting more content on there, such as right now we're posting fun fantasy names that you can give your team. So again, it's just additional content to just kind of help this community. But that's pretty much it for me.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you share with your friends, and stay tuned for Friday's episode.